Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. The teaching we hear today makes a lot of sense, even if it is not easy to accept or to follow. It comes in the Gospel of Matthew after Jesus gives quite a few other instructions about how to give money, to pray, to fast, and how not to store up treasures, not to focus only on darkness, and not to serve two masters. It seems a little ironic that in the last item in this long list of what to do and what not to do, Jesus insists that we should not worry. I don't know about you, but this just makes me all the more anxious. We live in an anxious world. The news certainly depends upon worries at home and abroad to attract our attention. Commercials and ads are constantly inviting us to worry about one more thing, usually something about ourselves, which the sponsored product will supposedly solve. Signs at the airport read, "See suspicious activity, call 1-800. Everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, there are visible reminders of just how much there is to worry about. I live not far south of here, on a street full of tall, leafy trees and old brick houses. The houses have large front windows and big porches where people sit and visit in the summer, often having a glass of wine by candlelight. If there is an anemic porch light, it only comes on for just a few hours after darkness. Backyards are mostly dark, perfect for cozy furniture, fire tables, strings of small lights, and, well, yes, raccoons. However, with each new house renovation on the street, the amount of privacy, security, and lighting seems to increase. The house diagonally across the street from where I live is now fronted by much concrete, layered fences, and impenetrable window coverings. Cameras are mounted on every angle to cover the entrances and essentially the whole property. There are multiple porch lights, spotlights that shine down from the corners of the house, and recessed lights that illuminate both the walkway and the driveway. Every night, all the lights are on, bright enough to penetrate the blinds on my windows and fully illuminate my bedroom. It is almost impossible to relax into sleep as I try to block out the worry and the anxiety that this house projects into my home each night. Worry has come to mean harass, cause anxiety to, and to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. However, the original meaning in the Old English is much more revealing. Worry meant to strangle. This describes the physical sensation of worry: tightening of the throat, struggling to breathe, increasing heart rate, desperately trying to figure out an escape. It seems that as we move farther away from being an agrarian society and more focused on materialism, the sensation of being strangled increases. For not only are we guilty of worrying, but also of serving the two masters of wealth and God, which inevitably leads us to focus on what we don't have or what we can't do because we don't have enough. Such scarcity thinking creates fear, and fear creates devotion to those people or reliance on those systems that will protect us. So we are being strangled by the very things that we think will keep us safe. Jesus reminds us of the obvious. Can any of you, worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? We know that that won't help, but we forget. Today, on Harvest Thanksgiving, we have an opportunity to pause, surrounded by reminders of our agrarian roots, give thanks for all our blessings, and consider an alternative way of being. Jesus invites us to consider being in relationship with God, the God who is infinite and whose love for us and all creation is infinite as well. Love operates from a different economy than money. The more love you give away, the more you have. Love cannot be counted, tracked, or stockpiled, especially God's love. And by living in this kind of relationship of love and trust, we enter into the realm of abundance, the world of possibility and contentment. Suddenly, in this world, which Jesus refers to as the kingdom of God, not worrying actually becomes an option. It is hard to believe this world of abundance that Jesus proclaims. But this is why, in the end, that Jesus dies. Not to somehow pay for our sins, but because those in power were so invested in the world of scarcity that the abundance Jesus taught and lived was downright terrifying and threatening. The freedom of abundance that Jesus offered was just too much. The rulers of his day were committed to keeping the power they derived from a fear born of scarcity, so they put Jesus to death. God, however, doesn't operate from scarcity. God operates out of abundance. So in response to the crucifixion of Jesus, God does not keep track or look for payment or hoard power with which to destroy the offenders. Instead, God resurrects, creates something once again out of nothing, draws light from darkness, gives life to the dead. This is the ultimate act of abundance. And this is the world into which Jesus invites us. A world of abundance, generosity, and new life, which is also a world of fragility, trust, and vulnerability. Lilies and birds, after all, can't defend themselves, but must trust God's providence and love. This is so hard for us to accept because we are surrounded by countless images of scarcity and fear that seek to cause us worry. But maybe this is exactly where we start. If we are surrounded by images of scarcity, worry, and fear, then perhaps our task this week and in the weeks to come is to capture thousands of pictures of their opposites, abundance, courage, and trust. Pictures that we physically take to remind us of our blessings. Pictures that we hold in our minds to counteract the worry. Pictures that we share in the form of stories with one another to encourage and to bring hope. Pictures that reflect our thanksgiving. And as for me, I'm also investing in blackout blinds. so that I can keep the anxiety of my neighbors at bay during the night. And in the morning, I will open the blinds and let the abundant light shine in with happy Thanksgiving. Amen.